also knew I wanted to write. I grew up on a housing estate in the East End of London. My parents are migrants. They come from Grenada. Both my parents left school before they were 16. My dad was a fisherman before he came to, England. So real kind of working class roots. And I just remember getting to the point of thinking, I really want to see if I can write. And I just applied for a course. And I tell you, when I tell this story, because it's just a set of doors opening. And I rang up the woman who ran the course, and she said, "We've got one spot left, and I feel you're ideal." So I went to this course on a Saturday morning. Then she set up her own indie publishing house from her house in Hackney. I was one of the first authors. She says, "I really like your work. I'm doing an anthology. Can you contribute maybe the first chapter?" And I thought, yes, of course I can do that. And then she came back and with her co-director, and they said, "We love it so much. Can we just publish the whole thing?" So I didn't have an agent. And this is my book that then went on to win the Crime Writer Association's Best First Time Novel for 2004, which was Running Hot. And it really was. And I remember, I tell you a story. I remember saying to a friend of mine, "Oh, I've got this opportunity to go to this course." And it was run in a particular, very well-known place in London. And my friend, she said, and she is still my friend, she said, don't do it because somebody like you won't get in." And she meant someone black, someone working class, someone who's got parents who left school before they were 16. And I thought, you watch, I'll show you. And I went off that morning. But you know what? She planted a seed of doubt that just grew and grew. And by the time I got there, I was like a tortoise with my head inside its shell, going up the stairs, sit in the corner, nobody will notice you. And all the time, I didn't realize that all the things that my friend said she didn't like was making my writing stand out. And that's why Maggie came to me, because I asked her years on, because Maggie was the writer who ran the course. I said, "Why, out of all the people, did you choose me?" Two things she said to me. She said, "I knew you would finish, you would work hard, and your writing stood out." So my being black, my being from a working class community, me being a woman, it made those things jump out. So the things that my friend said would hinder me actually were the things that propelled me forward. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to with the Discoveries Prize, is the uniqueness of people's voices, the uniqueness of their stories.
I love that because it's so true, isn't it? Because it's what makes each of us who we are that gives us a voice on the page and helps us connect with other people, which is ultimately what we're all trying to do with writing, aren't we? Is to connect with others through our stories. I love that. And am I right in thinking you were the first British Black woman to win a Dagger Award? Is that, am I right in
So I was
thinking?
the first Black British author to win the John Creasy Debut Dagger Award.
Which is a really massive crime prize, a really huge. And I'd love to know, did that also, what was that like for your career to get that accolade? Did that really help in your career as well?
So it really helped. Literally on the day that I went to get it, I remember I went with my sister. We're all very funky from East London, And when I won, which was a shock, I went up and made my speech, but there was a lot of noise at my table. And I said to everyone, "You can see we're from East London." And everyone loved that. And then someone, then people, a really well-known agent came up to me and said, "I'd love to meet you." So I got my agent at the time through that. Somebody who was really massive and big in the arts world in radio was in the audience. And he said, I talked to my senior producer who was next to me and said, "I really like her. Let's get her on the show." And that's how my radio and my journalistic career started. It all started from getting that award literally on the day. And I have a whole, and then I go back to what my friend said to me, you see, if I'd listened to her, I would never have got there. And what I say to people is the Discoveries Prize is like a door. For me, I see my career, you go through one door, and other doors are waiting for you. If you don't go through that door, you won't get to the other doors. So see the Discoveries Prize as a door that's open to you, and see what happens when you go through. And I think it's what Chloe was saying earlier. It's not necessarily about winning the prize. There are loads and loads of other doors waiting for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's brilliant, brilliant advice. Emma, I would love to hear now a little bit about your experience. First of all, tell me, what made you enter in the first place?
Well, you know what? It was lockdown and I was on Instagram and I think I saw it pop up on that. And I'd kind of been playing around with a short story that I'd written kind of years ago and stretching it. Kind of lockdown gave everyone a kind of more time in the day, really, that wasn't kind of lost on a commute anymore. So I'd been I didn't have children at this point, crucially, which meant I could come downstairs first thing in the morning and just write instead of sitting on a bus for an hour. The timing just was kind of perfect. I'd sort of finished this manuscript that was very, very short. It was 40,000 words. And I thought it needs to be at least 20,000 words longer than this. But I don't really know where to go from here. And the Discovery Prize popped up on Instagram because my boss was furloughed and I was very angry about this because I had to do her job. And so I was kind of hate scrolling while I should have been working. I just thought there's absolutely no reason why I shouldn't do it. And my husband, I kind of showed it to my husband and he was just like, yes, of course. Like, why? Honestly, why wouldn't you? There was no barrier at all. I was an unpublished like female like writer at the point and, in inverted commas, because I didn't really see myself as a proper writer because, I don't know, I hadn't had any, no one had told me that. I had my 10,000 words and so it kind of prompted me to go back and kind of hone them and kind of have the scary thought of someone other than my husband, who at this point had told me I was the greatest writer of all time, someone else read it. That was kind of the first stage, was just the thought of having another reader. I had no idea kind of where it would go, but kind of that thought of having someone who knew what they were doing just cast their eye over it would have propelled me forward. Yeah.
And I think this is what's really interesting about this prize, because it is just the first 10,000 words. So there are probably so many writers out there, I'm sure there are many listening, who have half a manuscript and perhaps know they've got something happening and something good, but maybe are feeling a bit sort of lost or a bit overwhelmed and maybe need a bit more support. But actually, they know they've got the first 10,000, they've worked really hard on the first 10,000 words and they know they can submit something like that. I think that's what I really love about it. Then what was it like to, first of all, find out you were on the long list and then the short, and then did you find out you were a winner at the same time as the short list was announced?
Or no.
How all that worked.
Well, the timeline was especially strange for me because I found out I was on the long list when I was incredibly overdue with my first child. So I think I was 10 days overdue or something. And I was so fed up with being pregnant that I was just blown away. I just got this email in... it must have been the very end of April 21, and saying I'd been longlisted. And I was just like, oh, goodness me, like, if nothing, like, the excitement I hope will propel the baby out. But it didn't, annoyingly. But I found that I'd been shortlisted 3 days after she was born, I think, and then one when she was 10 days old. So I find it so hard to remove the two experiences from each other of being a first-time parent of a tiny little girl and winning. I kind of see it as like me, like the birth of me being like a proper writer as well, because it was truly like the validation. And I think it helped me kind of hold on to my sense of self a bit, because lots of people talk about kind of new motherhood and how you just become this kind of machine, like providing food and, you know, safety for your child, but the kind of discoveries undercurrent that was happening. And then I had a call with my agent Lucy, who was my prize when kind of holding this newborn, and it's a very strange period. It was so exciting for so many reasons, and also it's all kind of a blur, and also I'm not sure if I remember it properly, but it's all wonderful, many hormones flying about as well.
Many hormones. But I love the idea that you were becoming a mother at the same time as becoming a professional writer. That's so exciting. What an exciting thing to be happening side by side. But yeah, I can totally see how you can't separate the two at all.
Yeah.
But so tell me about what the prize gave you in sort of practical terms over the following year or two. You mentioned your agent Lucy, who represented you after you won the prize, but what kind of support was there through the prize that helped you take your novel from where it was at that point to a full finished manuscript?
So the 2021 Discoveries Prize, I think it's the first one, obviously. And so I don't think all of the things that are now lined up had been lined up at the time. And also lockdown was a huge factor. And so it's still kind of the height of the pandemic, sort of. And so I didn't actually meet my cohort. So I understand that later years, and I've been adopted by a later year, had an incredibly kind of close relationship, and that they all met each other and kind of did a tour of the Audible studios and things like that. So none of that was available, but it was the Women's Prize team were incredibly supportive and available to me in that sense. So Claire Shanahan, who's the director, was honestly just emailing me kind of thoughts and feelings, and that was just insane and delightful. And Lucy, my agent, and also other agents at Curtis Brown and Curtis Brown Creative, just all sort of become acquaintances and friends, and really gave, kind of uplifted me from this kind of nothing position to a writer with words that people had read and taken seriously. And so it was kind of the validation more than anything that people, and not just kind of the original readers and the agents, but the kind of the whole panel of judges and Kate Moss, and had all read the words and kind of thought they were good. So that was kind of like the main core of support that happened throughout the Discovery process. And then Lucy Morris, my agent at Curtis Brown, was honestly been the most incredible kind of prize and person since then. I honestly don't think the book would be complete without her, really. It's amazing.
It sounds like what you really gained, apart from obviously an agent, and now you've gone on to sell and are about to publish your debut. But it sounds like you got community from it.
Yes, exactly. That is everything. It's so wonderful. I think every year now has a WhatsApp thread that is just pages and pages. Honestly, if you don't go on WhatsApp for a day, you'll open it and there'll be 90 notifications from the Discovery 2022 cohort, who I've kind of slipped in with. And it's just wonderful. Everyone is still writing. Everyone's at different stages. Everyone is so supportive. It's just, it's a complete community. And I know the Women's Prize have also been working to kind of bring all of the cohorts together. And there have been a couple of events and Zooms with everyone, which have been like chaotic and amazing. And all the winners of every year, we call ourselves the Disco Queens, also have a WhatsApp group and meet up whenever we're all in London. Like, it's just I think everyone will say writing is solitary, but the community that Discoveries has created is honestly just wonderful.
Oh, that's so wonderful to hear, because I mean, that's part of the reason I started a podcast, right? Because so often, especially in an early part of your career, you're very isolated as a writer and you don't necessarily have that community yet. So it's amazing to hear that Discoveries can provide that kind of community. I mean, I can see from all the information I sent, not just the winners who, you know, a number of books have now been bought and are either published or in the publishing pipeline, but also quite a lot of the short and long listees also have agents and publishing deals now, which is so exciting. It's so exciting to hear. I would love to hear from Chloe and Drita now the kind of things that you're going to be looking for as you're trawling through all these amazing submissions. Chloe, do you want to begin?
Yeah, sure. I can't tell you how excited I am. Like, we don't get to read anything yet. I think we're waiting for the spring to read our, is it 28 submissions I think we're reading? I cannot wait to read them, because it's just the unknown. And it's like going into a brand new bookshop with all these shiny new books that we haven't discovered yet. And that's so exciting to me. For me, voice is so important. And that's probably horribly vague to hear, because voice is a hard thing to, it's like a bit of magic on the page when you find a really exciting voice. Emma's novel does this amazingly, like literally from the opening sentence, like the voice is just incredible. And that's one of those things that hooks you in straight away. And you're like, I want to know who this person is, what they're doing. And we often talk about kind of putting a question on the page that you want answered. And I think that's quite important, so that you have some sort of thread through the novel that you're waiting to find out the answer to. Because as much as I love kind of beautiful description and prose and character work and descriptions, there needs to be some sort of pull, there needs to be some sort of hook that is making you want to carry on reading. And